Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shiur and Daf Yomi. We are now at the final piece of our analysis of Mishnah Bet of the sixth chapter of Masechet Baba Kama, beginning at the top of Daf Nun Chet Amud Bet. But let's go back for a moment to Nun He Amud Bet and take a look at the end of the Mishnah that we're analyzing. Said as follows: Kitzad Mishalat Mashi Zika. We said that in the case where the animal is directed into somebody else's field and does damage, you have to pay for the damage. How do you pay for the damage? Shamin beit se'a biota sadeh kamay tayafa v'chama hiyafa. You don't say, well, the animal ate, two rows of carrots. How much do two rows of carrots go for in the market? But rather, you look at the resale value of the land. How much would a beit se'a in that field be worth before he ate the stuff up, and how much is it worth now? Rabbi Shimon omer, achla perot gemurim, mishalan perot gemurim, im se'a saim satayim satayim. He says that if the, and it's unclear if Rabbi Shimon's really disagreeing with Tanakama, but he says that if the animal ate ripened fruit, then we look at the fruit themselves and not at this issue of resale. Okay, case of Mishnah Zika, non chodam on bet. Minhani mili. First of all, what's the source for Tanakama? Amar mat adam akra uvier bis de acher. In the key pasuk about Shein V'Regel, it says, if the animal cleans out in another field, biste acher. What's the drasha? Melamed shamin agav sadeh acher. That the way that we estimate the value is on another field, meaning you don't just look at what was eaten, but you look at it within the context of its field. Now, wait a second. How do we biste acher in Baile Lafuka V'Shutarabim? But we needed to be biste acher, and this we saw in the first parak, to tell us that Shein V'Regel is only in the Nizak's field and not in Rishut HaRabim. The answer is, Imken Lichto Rachmano V'yer B'Sdeh Chavero. So then let it say, if he went into his fellow's field, Inami Sadeh Acher, without the bet, my B'Sadeh Acher, Sheshamin Agav Sadeh Acher. That B'Sadeh Acher is written in that unique way, and with the word Acher, to tell you that you estimate the payment based on that. Ay Ve'ema Kule L'Achi Urata. So why don't we say lachiudata? Let's say that the entire drasha is only coming for that purpose. Lafuk Rishut HaRabim and Alan, and now we're stuck with how do we know that Shein V'Regel apart from Rishut HaRabim? So the answer is imken lichtu ve'rachmana gabei tashlumin. If that's the case, ubi'er bistei acher or bisadei acher should be written at the end of the pasuk. Meitav sadeu u'meitav kar yishalem bisadei acher. Lama dechatu rachmana gabei bi'er. Why did it mention it in the context of the neziki, not the tashlumin? Shma minatarti, it's there to tell you both things. Both that we estimate it using another field, and liftor b'shut HaRabim. Now, here's the key kicker, heichi shaminan. How do we do this estimation that the Chachamim say, which is what was valued before and is valued now? In other words, in what context? The animal ate up a row. Do we say how much was that row worth? Certainly not. Do we say how much is the whole field worth with or without the row? The row may be negligible within the context of the field. And nonetheless, there was damage done. So let's see. Amar of Yosef of Chanina, se'ah b'shishin se'in. We estimate how much a se'ah eaten up within the context of 60 se'in, a relatively sizable field, how much that would depreciate or diminish the value of the field. He cuts it in half. But again, it's a ratio of 1 to 60. And Chizkiah Amar Kelach B'Shishim Klachim, you look at how much the animal ate, whatever the stalk was, and how much 60 of those would, and a field that had 60 of those in it would go for, and now if one of them was eaten up, what that would diminish, and that's what you pay. Now, Meitaveh, we have a challenge to all three approaches. Achla Kabo Kabayim, if the animal ate whatever the measure it ate. We don't say you have to pay for what it ate. We imagine it to be a small vegetable bed and we measure it. So the implication is that we measure it as part of the land, but only within its own context, not as part of larger land. That's a challenge to all of them. Doesn't that mean independently? Lo, b'shishim, it means a small bed within 60 beds that size, and then each of the Amoraim will interpret it as best fitting in with their own shita, se'ah, tarkav, or kelach. Tan Rabbanan, ein shamin kav. Now we'll get this bright that explains what the concern is. Ein shamin kav, we don't measure a kav itself, neshamash bicho, because then the value is inflated. If I'm buying a piece of land, and the land, a small plot of land, and it originally had lots of fruit on it, now it doesn't have anything, clear it's going to diminish it greatly. And that's really not the damage that the animal caused. The animal went into a field that was, let's say, fully ripe and ate up a couple rows. So the whole field, the couple rows themselves, if somebody's buying the entire field or buying the North 40, those couple rows don't diminish the value by the resale value of that fruit. All right, so now, you don't do that. Velo beit kor, we don't use it of the beit kor, which is a very large amount. Mnei shepogmo, because then his loss is really considered to be much less than it really is. So that's the reason that we find a middle ground. Now, my kamar, what are they saying here? Papa achi kamar, ein shamin kav b'shishim kavim. That means that we don't take one kav among 60 kavim, mnei shebashbiach mazik, because that is a gain for the mazik, because then the loss is really negligible. V'lo kor b'shishim korim, a kor which is a large amount, relative to 60, mnei shepogem mazik. That hurts the mazik. Why? Because the only person who's going to buy 60 korim is a very wealthy person who's going to pay top dollar for this. So therefore, a loss of a kor would be very great. Ella b'shishim. So the answer is that we use 60, meaning whatever the area that the person did, we say, if there were 60 times as much that were being sold, so how much would the loss of this particular 1/60th change the price? And obviously we change it down. And here's a story. Hahu gavra dekatz kashpa michavrei, a fellow cut down a palm tree of his friend. Out to the Kamer Resh Galuta, they went to the Resh Galuta. Amarla the Didi Chazir, the Resh Galuta himself said, I know that tree. Utlata ta'alta bikina habukaimi, there were three trees that grew out of one area. Habushav me'azuza, the whole thing was 100 zuz. So he said, Zil havle tlatun utlata batilta. He said, go pay him 33 1/3. Which means he ignored what we just said and said, you caused damage to this guy, you destroyed this guy's tree. Three of these trees go for 100, you have to pay him 1/3 of that, which means a market value of the loss itself, which is more than we said before. Now, the fellow was unhappy with that. Amar Gabi Resh Galuta doin dina de parsoi lamali. Why should I go to the Resh Galuta who's going to use Persian rules? In other words, this is a way of ridiculing and saying the Resh Galuta is ruling incorrectly because he's using not the rules that we're familiar with. So, a strange thing happens. Out of the coming to Rav Nachman, he came to Rav Nachman, who is, remember, the Resh Galuta's dayan, is the Resh Galuta's son-in-law. Amar le b'shishim, and he told him what we just saw, which is, you see what a field that would have 60 trees like that would go for, and if one of them is destroyed, how much would that depreciate? That's how much you'd have to pay, which is certainly not going to be 33 1/3, it'd be a lot less. So now, Amar le Rav, Rav turned to his Rebbe to Rav Nachman and said, Imam Ruben Iske Mamono, he's supporting the Resh Galuta. He said, when do we measure it as a piece of 60 times as much? That's when your property goes and does damage, when your animal goes and does damage. But Yomar Ben Iske Gufo, but here the guy himself cut it down. Maybe he should pay a lot more. And we only know it as a basis, Ben Iske Mamono. So now, Amar le Abaye le Rava. So Abaye then turned to Rava and said, "Benizke gufa ma'idatech." So what do you think we should do when a person does the damage himself? The Tanya Hamavkir Karmo Shachaviro Smadar. If a guy cleans out another fellow's vineyard that was just at unripe grapes, we see how much would this vineyard have been worth with the grapes, and how much is it worth without the grapes, and that's what you have to pay. He said, we don't have shishim written there. So Abai says to Rava, that's your reason for saying that we don't apply shishim to Nizke Gufo? I got news for you, Rava. We have the same exact bright about Behemto, which says as follows, Tanya, Kitmane Tiyaf, the animal cut off a sapling. The great Rabbonim of Yerushalayim said, they gave an amount. If it was 1 year old, you pay 2 silver pieces. 2 years old, you pay 4 silver pieces, etc. Achla chaziz, if it ate as grass or like hay, then Rabbi Yose Glidi Omer Nidon b'Meshuyar Shibo. Sounds exactly like our case, which is you take a look at everything that's left, and that's what you use as a basis. We'll see what that means. Again, you take a look and see what was this field worth before and what's it worth now. Achlas madar, what if he ate as unripe grapes, right, that they just started budding? Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Ro'inotan ki'ilu hein anavim ondot libatzer. We imagine them to be completely ripened grapes, ready to be harvested. And what did he lose as a result? Chacham Omer, Ro'in kam ha'ita yafa v'cham ha'yafa. They disagree and say, you look what this vineyard was worth when it had the unripe grapes on it, what it's worth now stripped clean. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon, b'medvar memorim b'zman she'achla lulaveg fanim v'yichurei teinim. That's only if it ate shoots. That's when we say, what was it worth then? What's it worth now? But if it ate small grapes, not fully ripened grapes, he seems to go back to Rabbi Shua, which is, we imagine them to be fully ripened grapes, and we see what the price was. Now, we're going to take a look at that second bright again. But the point that we're making is that Abaye turns to Rav and says, what's your reason for thinking and challenging your Rebbe Rav Nachman by saying that there is no din of shishim in the case of Nizkei Gufo? You got that from a braita that ignores Nizkei the shishim and just says you have to pay either what it was worth and now what it's worth or the loss itself. But you know what? You have the same kind of braita with Nizkei Behemto that also doesn't mention shishim. So Abaye then continues, how can you explain it? Meaning, how much would this, 60 times as much of this, or this as part of 60 times, been worth before it was destroyed, and now how much is it worth, the 60, worth how much after it's destroyed? And that's the difference you pay. So the same thing, you have to go back to the first bright that we saw about a person who cleans out the other fellow's vineyard and say, and what chacham mean when you say what it was worth before and what it's worth now means within 60. So 60 applies both to Nizkei Gufo and Nizkei Mamono. And therefore, Rav Nachman, Rav says to his Rebbe Rav Nachman, you know what? Abaye says to Rav, your Rebbe Rav Nachman is right. It should be Shishim. And the Reish Galuta was wrong. That even though we don't have an explicit braita that says Benizke Gufo you pay within 60, nonetheless you also don't, the same parallel braita doesn't say about Behemton. We know with Behemton you pay with 60. So the same thing applies to Adam. So that's how we end that up. Now, Amar Bayan, this is something that Abaye typically does. We've seen it numerous times. Rabbi Yossi Haglili v'Rabbi Shmuel Amru Davar Chad. Rabbi Yossi Haglili in our braita, if you look back at the previous Amud, Rabbi Yossi Haglili, says that Nidon b'mishiyar shabo. This actually is in our bright about the animal. Nidon b'mishiyar shabo, which means you look at the remaining stuff of the field and see how much it would go for, and then you see how much was eaten up, and that's how much he has to pay. So he says Rabbi Yossi Haglili and Rabbi Shmuel, all they hold the same shita. Right? Basically, had Amran, what we already said, Rishmoa, what's the favorite Rishmoa? And this is famous, we've seen this many times already, in Gittin and several times in Baba Kama. Tanya Metav, Sadehu Metav, Karmo Yishalem. Metav of whom? This is the Sugi of Metav, we had in the first parak. Metav Sadehu Shal Nizak, or Metav Karmo Shal Nizak, which means you have to pay based on the finest land of the Nizak. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yossi Haglili said. Nidon b'mishiyar shabo, which means you look at what remains in the field and see what the market value of that is, and then you go back and see how much you ate, and that's how much you have to pay. So it's based on the field of the Nizak. Now, to finish that braita, if you recall, Rekiva Omer, lo ba ketuv el gvot nizakin mina idit. The braita is only coming to tell you that you have to pay mina idit, and then we said that's idit to mazik. V'kal v'chomer lehekdesh. And then we said it's kal v'chomer, that you would certainly have to pay idit when damaging hekdesh. Velo tema, and we have several interpretations of what that may mean. It may be when hekdesh collects, they collect from idit, or if you damage hekdesh, like Rishon Manasseh, you have to pay idit. Velo tema karav idi baravin, and don't interpret that Rav Idi Baravin's way that we had in the first paragraph. Rav Idi Baravin can go and shachla rugam ben rugod velo yadin and ichush havai ishmein havai. That Rabbi Kiva's statement is that that Rabbi Shmuel's statement is that when the animal ate stuff, we don't know whether it was good quality or poor quality. That we tell the guy you have to pay based on metav, meaning based on the guy's best stuff, even though the animal might have eaten poor stuff. And that we certainly don't say. Let the nizak prove that the animal ate up fat stuff and good stuff. That we're not going to say. What's the metav that we use? Whatever the best stuff is in front of us, that's the standard by which you base it, meaning that's how you figure out how much this guy's field is worth, and you figure out how much the damages are, exactly like Rabbi Yossi Aglili. My neokeach to salik, exactly what is there that's in front of you. All right, now let's go back to the second brayta, and we see Rabbi Shimon's opinion. Rabbi Shimon, this only applies that we use previous estimation, etc., if the animal ate up shoots, vines and shoots. So what's the implication from there? Hasmadar, if it ate any sort of grapes, even just buds, then we count the actual value of them as if they're ripened grapes. But look at the next statement, Ema Seifa, Achla Pagima Bosar, if it ate half-ripened grapes, that's when he said, you imagine them to be fully ripened grapes, and what's the market value? Hasmadar, implying that just buds, then we just use how much was the vine worth before and how much is it worth afterwards, which of course is less. So which is it? Amaravina, Krach Vatani. Ravina says, push the brayta together. All three cases of Smadar, Pagim, and Boser should be understood together. Medvar, Memorim. So Shimon says, when do we only use what was worth before and what is worth now? If it ate up shoots and vines. Achlas Smadar, Pagim, and Boser, but if it ate up even tiny little grapes or tiny little figs or unripe grapes, so it means that according to Rabbi Shimon, the minute that there are grapes out there and the animal ate them up, no matter how unripe they are, we imagine what would be the value as fully ripe grapes. So we have Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, I know Rabbi Yeshua. That's exactly what Rabbi Yeshua said. Because Rabbi Yeshua said that about Smadar. Certainly he would say it about Boser and Pigam, which are further developed grapes, that you imagine them to be fully developed. So how is any different? So, the difference between them is, do we then reduce from the payment the value that diminishes on the vine from the fact that the vine carries the grapes? The notion being that the vine is the vine, but when the vine has the grapes and the grapes start growing, they take some of the energy and the life out of the vine. So if the animal came along and ate up these grapes before they fully grew, in a sense, they prolonged the life of the vine. Question is, do we can take that into consideration and reduce the payment of the mazik as a result, or do we not consider it? And the Gemara then says, v'lo misaimi, which means we don't know which of Rabbi Yeshua or Rabbi Shimon would take that into consideration, but that must be the difference between them. Abaye takes it even further. Abaye mar misaimi, we do know who would take the position. Why? The interesting and brilliant analogy. Mantana dechayish dechash gufna. Who is it who takes into account later damages? It's Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda. It's the same Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda in a whole different context in the third parak of Ketubot. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda omer mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya ones eino mishlam et hatzar. In the fourth parak of Ketubot, we said that an mifate, besides having to pay the knas of 50, also has to pay boshet, also has to pay if there's nezek, that may be the pkam, right? And the ones, the Tanakhama says, has to add tsar. Shimon ben Yehuda says you don't add tsar. Why? Because they're going to get married, and eventually she's going to have the same tsar of the first bia. So it doesn't matter whether it's now or later. Either way, it's going to happen. So therefore, Shimon ben Yehuda is the one who would seem to say, since these grapes ultimately were going to grow on the vine, and that would shorten the life of the vine, that has to be taken into account. The same way here with tsar. And the response to Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, of course, was, Amrulo eno dama nivelep ratzon nivelep ba'onis. Even though she'd ultimately have her first bia with this guy, nonetheless, it's not the same when it's ba'onis versus baratzon. Okay, but the point is that Rabbi Shimon seems to take that position on futures. Now, Amar Abaya again does his very typical thing of aligning Tanoim. Hani Tanoim, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Amru Davar Achad. The following Tanoim and our Rabbi Shimon Yehuda agreed on this principle. Shimon Yehuda Hadamran. Hani Tanoi Mahi. Which Tanoi we're talking about? The Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nochi Chaya. When there are Dmei Vladot to pay, when there's an accident and a woman is injured and miscarries, then you have to pay Dmei Vladot. Rabbi Yossi says you cut out of that payment the payment for the midwife. And Ben Azir menachim mezonot. He said, you take out the anticipated payment of mezonot of these kids, because that's something that theoretically the husband is saving. Now, Madam menachi chaya, Rabbi Yossi, who said, you take out the payment for the midwife, koshke nachim mezonot. He would have to agree, you certainly take out the payment for mezonot. Madam menachi mezonot, but Ben Azir, who said, you take out payment for mezonot, Madam menachi chaya lo. That is, he would say, you don't take out the payment for the midwife. Why? De'amar le, the husband could say to the mazik, my wife is an expert. She can give birth without a chaya. So you didn't save me anything on that. So that payment doesn't get knocked out. Okay. A papa of Huna, Beredo of Yeshua, Avud Uvda Kabater of Nachman Beshishim. So these two Amoraim, the students of Rava, Paskin like the Rebbe's Rebbe, like of Nachman, and in a particular case where there was damage, they said you measure it using 60 against 1/60th, as we've seen throughout the sugya. Leish Nachrina, we have another version. Or Papa Ravuna, Brady Ravshua, Shamu Dikla Agav Katina Da'ara. It's not exactly 60, but the other story is that they measured, there was a palm tree that was knocked down, and they measured it as against within the context of that land. That's the halacha goes. Bedikla da'arma, an Aramean palm tree, which is not all that significant, and therefore the loss of the tree itself is not that great, and you have to measure it as within the context of its land. But a Persian palm, which is a very significant tree, we paskin like Reish Galuta, where you have to give the full value of the tree, because that's really a significant loss. Okay, we have a strange story. Eliezer Zeira. There was this Eliezer who was maybe small. Have a soy masani uchmi. He put on some black shoes. He was like an avel. V'kai v'shuka de Nahardei. He was standing up in the streets of Nahardei on the marketplace. So he looked a little bit off. Ashkechu de Verish Galuta, the representatives of the Verish Galuta found him there. V'yamrule, and they said, Maishna hani masani. Why are you wearing these shoes? I'm mourning for Yerushalayim. This, of course, 100 years after the Korban. Amrule, at chashivat litabul Yerushalayim. Are you such an important person that you can make this public display of Avelut, which, by the way, is unusual. Nobody else is doing it. There's a problem of Yuara. Savu Yuara Have. They thought the guy was being overly proud, shall we say. At Yu v'chavshu. They took him into custody in the Reish Galuta's house. Amrule Gavarabban. He says, I'm an important person. You can't do this to me. How are we going to know that? Amar lahu, he said, oh, atun bo minai milta. Either you ask me a shayla, or ana ibi minaychu milta, or I'll ask you a shayla. So you ask me anything, try to stump me, or else I'll try to stump you, and you'll see that you can't answer my question. Amrule boyat. So they said, okay, you ask a question. Amar lahu, he said, okay, haiman de katz kufra. If a fellow cuts down some unripe dates, my Mishalim, what does he pay? Amrulay Mishalim Dvei Kufra. They said very simply, he pays the value of unripe dates. But they would have become nice dates, which would be worth a lot more. So Amrulay Mishalim Dvei Tamri. So they said, okay, so you should pay for the value of the ripe dates. Amrulay Vahalav Tamri Shakumine, but he didn't take those. In other words, you can't charge him for what something may have developed into. All right, Amrulay Emalan At. So they said, okay, you tell us the answer. He gave them the answer of Shishim, which is, what would this tree be worth? 60 trees like this be worth with the unripe dates on it? What would it be worth with, when this one tree has the dates off of it? And that's the difference you measure. They said, where did you get this opinion from? Who says like that? Shmuel and his Beitin in Ahardea, they're alive, and this is what they say. Right? Shadru came to Shmuel, so they sent a message to Shmuel. Amarlu Shaper Kamarlachu b'Shishim. Shmuel sent the message back. He said correctly, it's Shishim. V'shafku, they let him go. Right, that's a nice end of the story. All right, at the end of the Mishnah, we saw Rabbi Shimon's opinion, which is Achla Perot Gmurim. If the animal ate ripe perot, then they have to pay for that. My time, where do you get that from? Amar Achmana, Bi'er B'Stei Acher, because Rabbi Shimon says that the pasuk that we saw at the beginning of the podcast, Bi'er B'Stei Acher, which was our source for saying Shishim, or using the context of the field, Malamech Shamin Al Gava Sadeh, he said, Hanimili, me did it tzarech l'sadeh. That's only in the context of something that still needs the field. You know, there's stuff that's still growing. Hani, kevin lo tzrich l'sadevet, fully ripened fruit, don't need the field anymore. They could be harvested. Bayinayo bayu shlumi, you have to pay for them and their whole value. Which of course grew much more. Amrav Huna barar chia, Amrav Yirmiyah bar Abba, don Rav kereb meir, upasa kechotak Rav Shimon. In a particular case, Rav ruled in accordance with Rav Meir's opinion. We'll see what that's about, and something having nothing to do with our case. And he issued the psak, the decision, to follow Rabbi Shimon's opinion about ripe fruit, which tells us what we asked earlier, that Rabbi Shimon really disagrees with Tanakama. Now, Don Rav Kareb Meir, what was the case of Rav Meir? D'tanya, katav l'rishon v'lachat malo. Let's say that a husband has a field that he set aside, assigned to his wife's ketubah, and he then tried to sell it, and she did not sign off on it. Rishon. L'sheni v'chat malo. But then he tried to sell it again to a different guy, and she did endorse it. Ibda ketubata. Then she's lost her entire ketubah. Divrei Rav Meir. What's Rav Meir's reason? Because if she signed off the first time, she could say, I was just doing it to make my husband happy. I want to embarrass him, and I'm not reliving him ochel. But the fact that she didn't sign off the first time means that's not her consideration. So when she signed off the second time, it's an indication she really is being mochel her claim on that land for the ketubah. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yecholah Yishtamar, Nachat Ruach Hasiti Livali, Atem Malachem Alai. She could say, no, this time I wanted to make my husband happy. Last time I didn't. Right? Good. That was the case of Rabbi Meir. Upasak Yechotak Rabbi Shimon, Kenam Shimon Omer, Chla Peruk Murin, Mishlan Peruk Murin, Seah Seahim, Satayim, Satayim. And he passed like Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah, that if the animal ate completely ripe fruit, then that's what you have to pay, and we don't do this Agav Shishim, or see what the field was worth before it was destroyed or after it was destroyed, but the actual market value of the fruit, which of course is much greater. So, we finished up until the Mishnah, now we'll be able to start Mishnah Gimel on the next podcast. Until then, everybody should have a wonderful day.